with one another as leaders of a self-run business has been a fascinating flexing of our singular strengths. For example, while Ned handles budgeting and spreadsheets, I've picked up more responsibility for creative pitches and branding.
When we were making plans to leave BuzzFeed, we were confident that we could get views on our own, and we were excited about creating a deeper fan community. But how did that translate to an actual business model? Our first few months were just going to be spending lots of our own real actual money in a hopeful expectation of future predicted money that my spreadsheet said we would theoretically make. It was daunting. Would I be able to feed Wes? As the most finance-savvy member of the Chai Guys, that was my job to figure out. Early on, I developed a business model for what Chai Guys 2.0 would look like as an independent company. I projected how much money we could expect to bring in from YouTube versus sponsorships versus other projects like this book or our merch line or even a potential TV show. I estimated our costs, how much money and time we each would personally need to invest, and how many other people we should hire to help us. At one point, I calculated that the only way we could accomplish all of our goals was if there were 18 months in a year. Whoops. We had to prioritize. It was a lot of responsibility, and I am honored to have earned the trust of the other Try Guys. I am incredibly protective of them and of our business. They're my family.
Expert advice from Kevin Lin. Kevin is the co-founder of the video game streaming site Twitch, which was acquired by Amazon for a cool $1 billion in 2014. He's a tech investor, video game aficionado, and a dude who knows how to get shit done. Here are some tips from Kevin for having a more productive workday. Use the Wunderlist app to organize your tasks and to-do lists, the Pocket app to save articles to read later, and the Aura Ring activity tracker to track sleep and combat jet lag. Wear the same thing every day. One less thing to think about. Kevin wears jeans and a black Mack Weldon t-shirt. He has 20 of them. And if you can't wear the same thing every day, at least pick your outfit the night before, so you're not wasting crucial seconds and neurons getting ready for work in the morning. Block off time when no one can bother you. At Twitch, if you see someone wearing noise-canceling headphones, that means please do not disturb. And finally, procrastination is necessary. Seriously, your brain and body need to rest. He may be biased, but he recommends video games.
In the early months of the company, with Ned's baby arriving early and Eugene being out of state for a project, some early responsibilities fell on Zach and myself. We were pretty daunted, but there really was no way around it. Personally, I was scared and overwhelmed. I really don't excel at business stuff, but there we were, sitting at the bank, trying to figure out what we needed to do to open a business account and get ourselves approved by the state of California. I was in email chains with different video and audio libraries trying to find out what was affordable and would serve our company's needs. We were doing interviews, hiring PAs, and scheduling the shoots and releases for when everybody was back. It was wild. At some point, I found myself creating all the banner assets for all of our social media pages. I am probably one of the weaker Photoshop artists of the group, but there wasn't enough manpower to go around, so I just learned how to be better. Probably the biggest contribution I made to the company in the first months was setting up our Patreon. It's a platform for our biggest fans to subscribe to premium content from us at different price tiers. It was a ton of work and something we almost didn't do, but thank God we did because it ended up being one of the most essential and rewarding parts of our business. YouTube pays out its revenue 1 month after it's earned, so with our channel launching mid-June and a 2-week delay to even get approved for monetization, the first real check we would get would be at the end of August. We had already been paying staff out of our own pockets since April, so we were quickly running out of money. Patreon was the only revenue we had coming in at the time, so we were very appreciative of our Triceratops, which is what we call our patrons, because we literally couldn't have done it without them. We learned that you don't always know which part of your business will be most valuable, so sometimes you have to take a chance on the opportunities that come your way, no matter how uncertain they may be. Also, we really need to manage our time better, or we're never going to make it.
Only those who dare to fail greatly can ever achieve greatly. Robert F. Kennedy. The F stands for fucking. The Try Guys try to work like CEOs! For this try, we talked to experts like Oprah Winfrey, Mark Zuckerberg, and Richard Branson.
Well, that's not true. We just Googled them.
Yeah, we Googled them.
We compiled all their best practices into a spreadsheet. That was Ned who did that. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ned. And then we put together the ultimate, totally optimized, play like a champion CEO workday, hour by hour.
Each of us is going to try to follow this regimen for a day and see if it kicks us into high gear.
Or drives us directly into the ground.
Morning!
5 a.m. Wake up and meditate.
What the fuck?
5:30 a.m. Exercise. Yes, exercise. Even though it's still dark outside.
6:30 a.m. Make your bed. Generals do it.
6:45 a.m. Write in a journal. Things you're grateful for, things you can improve on, and what your intentions are for the day.
7 a.m. Breakfast, just coffee.
7:30 a.m. Read news headlines and social media.
Which is pretty much just read social media.
Yeah, my Twitter feed is like all news.
Yeah.
8 a.m. Shower and put on your daily uniform. That is the same outfit you wear every day.
What? I'm not going to do that.
The dream.
9:30 a.m. Take a series of meetings back to back in one long block, usually not longer than 7 minutes each. Always have a notebook on hand to write down ideas.
Afternoon.
12 p.m. Lunch. Finally.
1 p.m. Think time. Task-free time to think about the bigger picture.
1:40 p.m. Do brief face-to-face check-ins with your team. Also, no more caffeine from here on out. I'm so sorry.
No!
2:30 p.m. Dedicated 3-hour work block divided up with time boxing, allotting a fixed maximum unit of time for a pre-planned activity, the way God intended it.
5:30 p.m. Group dinner.
Aw, where do you want to go?
I got lunch and dinner. This is great.
I mean, I hope you get dinner.
You guys want to get sushi?
I want to get sushi.
Yeah, let's get sushi. Yeah.
That feels like a CEO move. 7:45 p.m. Go home.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a 2-hour, 15-minute dinner?
That's
luxurious.
Because you got to talk about all the, like, business.
Right. CEOs and how delicious the sushi is.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to question deals. Oprah. That's what she's doing. Yeah. She figured it out.
It was a long dinner.
Night.
8:30 p.m. Escort electronic devices out of your room.
9 o'clock p.m. Unwind by doing chores. What? No. Why would we do that? Okay, fine.
Keep reading.
Or taking a walk outside without music. Okay.
You gotta trust Oprah.
Yeah, I know. It's just a weird tip.
What am I gonna do? Put away my laundry?
Well, get ready for this one. 9:30 p.m. Take a hot bath with Epsom salts.
Oh, yeah. 10 p.m. Change into clothes dedicated specifically to sleep and nothing else.
10:15 p.m. Drink chamomile or lavender tea.
10:30 p.m. Write down the things that you're grateful for today.
10:45 p.m.
Go to sleep.
No, you can't really do that if you want to be a CEO, right?
Yeah, I mean, to be successful, you have to sacrifice
your baby to the king.
To the altar.
To the CEO altar.
5 a.m. Wake up and meditate.
I woke up at 4:30 a.m., so I'm already ahead, but I did not meditate and instead drank coffee in bed. I didn't mean for that to rhyme when I wrote it, but it does.
Ooh, Dr. Seuss.
I know. Yeah.
Can you read it like it's rhyming?
I woke up at 4:30 a.m., so I'm already ahead, but I did not meditate and instead drank coffee in bed.
5 a.m.? Yeah, right. Sleep is a precious commodity for a new dad. No way I'm waking up at 5 a.m. Try this. 1 a.m., wake up and feed the baby. 4 a.m., wake up and feed the baby. 6 a.m., wake up, start meditating, get 5 minutes in when the baby cries and interrupts me. Then, feed the baby.
Not a chance am I waking up that early. It's still dark out. On a good day, I wake up somewhere in the 7 to 8:30 a.m. range,
whoa,
depending on how late I was up the night before. Usually, I'll scroll through Twitter, check my other apps with one eye open until my fourth alarm goes off and I reluctantly roll out of bed. For this experiment, I decided to set my alarm for 6 a.m. as a fair compromise.
Sleep is a luxury I've yet to learn how to maximize, but I make it a major priority to get a decent 7 to 8 hours. I usually prefer evening over morning workouts since my compulsions keep me up, with lights out around 2 a.m. on average and rising around 8 a.m. I also occasionally suffer from bouts of insomnia, more often when there are pressing work engagements that occupy my focus. Long story short, if snoozing were a class subject, I would have gotten an F.
Put that on a t-shirt!
To get the proper amount of sleep and be up at 5 a.m. would mean being in bed by 10 p.m., which actually made me laugh out loud. Oh, at 10 p.m., lights out made me feel like some unruly toddler who's required to go night-night. I lay there, eyes trained on the ceiling fan, fighting off all temptation to glance at my phone, knowing its blue incandescence would make it an even steeper uphill battle to close my eyes.
5:30 a.m. Exercise. Yes, even though it's still dark outside.
I took a 6 a.m. class at Orange Theory and am feeling pretty darn good about it, thank you very much, because I am still working out from Chapter 2. That's
where,
right, I'm still doing it. Can you believe it?
Good on you.
Pretty good, Keith, but I have got no time for this because I, quote, slept in all the way to 6 a.m. Please, I will instead do baby squats, where I do squats while holding Wes. He has a great time flying through the air, and I add approximately 18 and a half pounds to my workout.
I am still sleeping.
As I elaborated upon in the health chapter, I crave exercise like a drug and go into severe withdrawal when I can't get my heart rate up. Walking into a circuit class this morning then was like taking a strong hit of something I'm addicted to, and I immediately feel my entire mood lighten. It's upper body day at Training Mate, a boutique studio that is walking distance from my apartment and a personal favorite of mine because the trainers are all extremely attractive Australian models who yell at you in sexy accents with dirty jokes. That would be an HR violation in any other setting, such as, reach down and grab the balls, but don't tug them too hard. Squat for some hot buns like you did last Saturday night. And yank the rower like you're back in grade school discovering yourself for the first time. After the final round of abs, I leave with the exhilarating, almost peaceful sense of accomplishment you feel only after completing a very early morning class. As the sun peaks over the tree line, it dawns on me that, with my head surprisingly serene and uncluttered, the exercise worked in lieu of my miserable meditation attempt. I made the mental note that, if anything, changing to AM exercises might supercharge my day.
6:30 a.m. Make your bed. Generals do it.
I did not make my bed. There is no time for that. And also, who cares? Only I see my bed.
Okay, now we're back on track. Yes, I love making my bed. It feels like I already accomplished something today. I'm a goddamn CEO now.
Alas, your boy is awake. I can't make the bed because my girlfriend Maggie is still in it. So I'm calling that one a freebie. Also, I hate making my bed. I'm not about to make my sheets all neat just to mess it up again tonight. Eventually, I decide to fold my side of the covers and prop one pillow up. I did something.
Yay.
This suggestion to make my bed struck me as particularly counterproductive, since it's always been my lazy male philosophy that a permanently unmade bed is the natural state. My opinions on the merits of tidiness expose one of my greatest flaws as a contributing member of the human race. Outside of creative projects, I'm a totally disorganized, clutter-loving mess. But I perform the ritual begrudgingly and discover a never-before-seen suspicious yellow spot.
Ew.
Which I would eventually determine to be one of my dog's vomit.
Ew!
Was drying on my covers for God knows how long.
Triple ew!
So if anything, making your bed like a CEO aids in lessening your chances of sleeping in puppy puke.
6:45 a.m. Write in a journal. Things you're grateful for, things you can improve on, and what your intentions are for the day.
Thank you, Mary.
No, I'm already writing this fucking book. Also, hold on, you said 6:30 to 6:45. It takes 15 minutes to make a bed? That's crazy. What arms does the CEO have? Little noodle arms like me?
Well, they're CEOs, so they have really big beds.
Oh, maybe that's
so
what it
successful.
I'm on baby duty in the morning, so journaling was a little tricky. I couldn't really write anything down because Wes kept grabbing my pen, but I told Wes some things I was grateful for, like our peaceful mornings together and a loving, supportive spouse and having three best friends to start a company with, which was a nice, positive start to my mental day.
I start every morning by walking Bowie for 20 to 30 minutes, which is sort of like meditation, and then I do about 20 minutes of stretching exercises targeting my AS. Since I'm running behind, I decided to skip the whole journal thing, though I admit, in all of this, that piece does sound the loveliest. I think I'll try it moving forward. During my walk, I set the day's intentions to make the most of my time and to, please God, just fucking make it through the day.
It's good intention.
I thought you wanted to please God.
Yeah, I guess in this case, I'm pleasing God. Yeah.
Just fucking.
I'm just not the right God. I have not, and will never, write in a journal. It has always made me slightly uncomfortable knowing that my innermost thoughts could be accessible in a tangible location.
You know this is a book, right? That people are going to buy? With your thoughts in it?
Oh, shit. Oh, now I'm sad. Surely that could be used as a form of blackmail someday, as I've been taught by every 80s movie starring vindictive teenage girls. Since I trust my computer's hard drive as a theoretically safer space to store my thoughts, I decide to make a journal entry digitally. Things I am grateful for.
I, Eugene, am grateful that our burgeoning company has proven to be a wise and marginally profitable venture.
I, Eugene, am grateful that my passions and my career directly align.
I, Eugene, am grateful that I still have all my amazing hair and Keith's incredible friendship.
You can't add that on.
I can add anything I want. I'm Eugene.
Okay. Things I can improve on.
I, Eugene, can improve on being more open and vulnerable and admit my weaknesses with my loved ones, especially the other Try Guys, for the sake of our business.
I, Eugene, can improve on my overall hair care regimen and my respect for Keith's unending friendship.
Keith, you can't keep adding compliments.
I thought it was pretty good.
This is my journal. Okay.
We could improve on it, but
God damn it. And finally, my intentions for today.
I, Eugene, will live my day like a true boss and hopefully learn how to maximize my efficiency and productivity.
I, Eugene, will stick to the plan with an open mind, even when history and personal bias threaten it.
I, Eugene, will make my hair look good. And love, Keith.
7 a.m. breakfast. Just coffee.
Just coffee? Ooh, I have a feeling this is going to be a tough one for the gang to follow. I didn't listen to it, so I had a green smoothie, but that was at 7:30, so I'm already behind and feeling very stressed.
I ate cereal while I fed Wes oatmeal. I did try a CEO thing that I read about called bulletproof coffee. That's coffee with butter in it. Huge mistake. Putting a tablespoon of butter in my coffee ruined it. I love the ritual of making and drinking coffee in the morning. Helps me wake up and focus on my day. I also like the way it tastes at the end. This tasted exactly how it sounds. Buttery.
I've got a sensitive Jew tummy, so I'll stick with my daily morning smoothie and tea, thank you very much.
A huge health no-no I've been trying to combat is my terrible meal habits. I've steadfastly trained my body since college to only require an enormous dinner and coffee to stave off hunger at all times of the day. No snacking, no breakfast, no lunch. Just supper and caffeine. I call it the Hyper Warrior's Diet. Today, though, I did my best impression of the other guys who, like most organisms with a digestive tract, enjoy their morning breakfasts and become increasingly hangry when unfed. I had 2 cups of coffee, a banana, boiled a couple of eggs, and decided to try to whip together the prototypical millennial brunch item. Avocado toast. This schedule calls for no coffee in the second half of the day, and I begin to dread what is to come.
7:30 a.m. Read news headlines and social media.
I looked at my phone while on the toilet, and then I showered. So that's what I did.
News easy, done, no problem. Anxiety level increased. The news makes me stressed. Also, where is Czech fantasy football scores on this schedule?
I am way ahead of you. I already checked Twitter in bed, periodically during Bowie's walk, while brushing my teeth, and while peeing. But I'm addicted to my phone, so I don't mind spending a little extra time refreshing my apps aimlessly. Plus, I use this time to peek at my emails, too. Usually, I mark emails as unread, sort of as a reminder and to-do list, but since I'm good at ignoring things right in front of me, I'm able to let them sit there for weeks, if not months. This time was good to finally tackle one of those unanswered emails from a friend who must have thought I was dead by now.
Here's one thing I know I'm more adroit at than the other guys. I can find ways to keep myself from constantly checking the news and social media. I'm sure that the addiction to our phones contributes massively to negating solid work and study output, and I'm positive that half an hour would be far too long, a block dedicated to scrolling through my feeds, until I take a gander at the time after what feels like 5 minutes. I'd actually gone slightly over time, lost in what was clearly a tear in the time-space continuum, and I'm fascinated by how totally absorbed I have become with my Instagram and trending topics, clicking through them with the captivated precision of a robot on an assembly line. I push my phone away, turning it face down on my table, suddenly more mindful of its eerie, matrix-like hold over my attention.
8 a.m. Shower and put on your daily uniform.
I don't wear the same thing every day, but I also didn't waste any energy thinking about what to wear because I truly don't care.
Finally. I've gotten so stressed out trying new clothing for the fashion chapter that I forgot how comforting it is to not think about what I'm wearing. Today, I'm rocking our Triceratops Squad t-shirt, tryguys.com, with jeans and boots.
This boy is showered, clean, and looking hot in his turtleneck. For my day as CEO, I opted to wear a black turtleneck and loose blue jeans. I assume adopting this outfit is the only thing separating me from being Steve Jobs. That and a proclivity for soaking his feet in toilets.
Wait, what?
Yeah, no, Google it. Oh, or better yet, ask Siri.
On brand.
It's a real thing. He soaked his feet in toilets. Super weird.
Well, they're good basins of water.
Being on camera has forced me to spend a ton of time every morning thinking about how I look, and it's refreshing to be fully dressed in 5 minutes without an ounce of care.
To this philosophy's credit, I do devote a considerable amount of decision-making energy toward what I'm going to wear each morning. So, in order to conserve precious neurons and reach peak productivity today, I slipped into the same look I had on yesterday. Black jeans, gray Chelsea boots, a sweater, and a wide-brimmed hat. This was probably the most traumatic experience of the day.
You're so brave.
Thank you.
9:30 a.m. Take a series of meetings back-to-back in one long block, usually not longer than 7 minutes each. Always have a notebook on hand to write down ideas.
So I had a discussion with some of you guys about how we are organizing our time, which ironically I think wasted an hour. So then I tried to get some editing done, and then I handled an avalanche of emails that were about a million different topics in no particular order.
But did you have a notebook on hand to write down ideas?
I don't own a notebook.
This was my favorite part of the day. I crushed these meetings. Having the time pressure of 7 minutes really forced me to be efficient. I met with our production manager, Alexandria, for 7 minutes to talk about the budget for an upcoming project. Then with our PA, Casamobi, for 7 minutes to get an update on bonus content she was making for our Patreon. Then, with our editor Devlin for 7 minutes to discuss a rough cut. And finally, with Zach for 7 minutes to trash talk his fantasy football team.
Even though I did end up winning the season, did I not, Ned?
Did you
even make the playoffs?
You know,
I'm trying to remember.
At press time, your team was trash.
Right.
And honestly, still is. You got kind of lucky.
All right.
And you're the commissioner.
Yeah.
So, there's some funny business.
Hey, Keith. Sports.
I like sports, but I don't like pretending to play them.
Now, this is where things got tricky. It's also where I started writing as much as Eugene.
Oh my god, this is so much, bro.
Ooh, I'm proud of you, Zach.
This is fun because you're seeing that the guys are reading some of the book for the first time. Normally, our meetings last 30 minutes, if not an hour. A lot of our meetings are creative problem solving and brainstorms, and you need time to make breakthroughs and think through problems. Plus, we all just like to chat a bunch, so that holds us back. At Kevin Lynn's suggestion, I purchased noise-canceling headphones and made it known that I could only be reached via Slack and appointment for the day instead of having people just come up and tap me on my shoulder. It was time to buckle up. 7 minutes is not a lot of time, and I had a ton that needed to get done. First, I spent 7 minutes firing off emails as fast as my little fingers could type. Normally, I reread emails to make sure my syntax is correct and that I'm saying things in an intelligent and tactful way. Today, I stuck with shorthand and managed to crush 5.5 emails. On a normal day, I'd be checking my email several times an hour, more as a procrastination technique, but today, I knew I wouldn't be checking it again until right before lunch. Next, I checked in with our producer about a project I'm in charge of, then touched base with the group about the podcast we're testing since I'm the creative lead, about 20 minutes in, and I was feeling like a goddamn stud. 7 minutes wasn't enough to make a video thumbnail, but at least I'd come up with a plan for how to attack it later. Then, I met with one of our editors, and that's where things went off the rails. 7 minutes turned into 42 minutes as we discussed options and I answered questions. Our videos are sometimes 20 minutes long, and there was just too much to talk about. From this point forward, all my 7-minute increments started to bleed together into longer chunks of time. Back in the office, the guys were debating the best way to structure a video, and since I'm the smartest and best, they obviously needed my input.
Whatever. This guy was such a lie.
That ate up 13 minutes. Then, Ned sent us all the new Dude Perfect video.
Woo!
He loves those guys. And watching YouTube is basically research, so that felt like 10 minutes well spent. We had a conference call scheduled for a potential branded video, and as much as I wanted to hang up on the client after 7 minutes, I was stuck on there for 42 more minutes.
42 minutes in heaven.
Even though I fell short of my goals, it was by far the most productive morning I'd ever had. I'm typically a slow starter and spend most of my morning pussing around, not making much progress until after lunch. Breaking my morning into strict time units lit a major fire under my ass. My buns were appropriately toasty and ready to roll into the afternoon.
I arrived at the office and immediately beelined for the coffee drip, craving one more hit. And then one more. What normally would happen from here on out is totally dependent on whatever was scheduled. Video shoots, business meetings, staff check-ins, editing notes, out-of-office appointments, yada, 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 yada. Every day is a grab bag of possibilities. Today, I determined that there are several pressing items I need to work on. I knocked out all my calls and emails while alerting our staff that I'd be enforcing a closed-door policy in the morning, moving my face-to-face time with them to after lunch. Keith reminds us that he has a deadline for a video edit.
Guys, we have a deadline for a video edit.
And promptly plugs in his headphones to drown us out. The black hole of editing for any creative in the filmmaking field is dark and full of terrors. And I know that he will not be able to return from its grasp anytime soon. Keith is lost to us.
No.
12 p.m. Lunch.
Finally.
Suggestions? Salad, turkey burger, and sweet potato, Mark Wahlberg. Cheeseburger, Bill Gates. Oatmeal raisin bars, Anderson Cooper. And a hamburger without the bun, Anna Wintour.
I brought some boring vegetable dish because I'm vegan now and I just don't want to talk about it.
Okay, well, I had a cheeseburger for lunch, but I made sure to have it delivered so that I could maximize my productivity. However, the fries got soggy, and eating a cheesy meat sandwich made me feel pretty lethargic. Curious choice, Bill Gates.
He's a billionaire. He's doing something right.
Billionaire Gates.
Nice.
Oh, is the Bill short for billionaire?
Yeah.
You didn't know that?
Wow. His parents had such foresight. Now, I'm not sure why Mark Wahlberg's lunch is listed as an example in our CEO schedule.
Don't worry about it. Say hello to your mother for me.
Now, for starters, the obvious must be stated that he's not my go-to image of a CEO. Successful at turning a shtick into a lucrative career, sure, but CEO, Plus, I feel that society just way too easily forgot and forgave the fact that he committed some heinous hate crimes in the 1980s before becoming famous. But damn, his lunch of a turkey burger, salad, and sweet potato sounded both delicious and nutritious. So I decided to go with Marky Mark on this one.
An hour for lunch always feels like too much time to step away from pressing responsibilities. So I decide to take a stroll a couple of blocks away to a nearby cafe, rationalizing that the hike, waiting in line, and coming back with the food would eat up some of that countdown. Inadvertently, I stumbled upon the rejuvenation of stepping outside into actual sunlight and was almost disheartened by the reminder of how much of the day we spend locked inside, staring at a tiny screen. Our postures disintegrating into curved neck oblivion. My Mark Wahlberg-inspired fare included a chicken salad sandwich, side salad, and a cup of lentil soup. The same Mark Wahlberg who, as Zach pointed out, when he was young and awful, punched an unsuspecting Asian man in the face for no reason and blinded him.
Oh god, is that what happened?
Yeah, it's really fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's apologized, so.
Say hello to your mother for me.
Yeah, really.
He literally knocked his lights out. That is what he did.
I start to Google it before reminding myself that I shouldn't be looking at news or social media if it isn't absolutely necessary.
Smart. Mm-hmm. 1 p.m. Think time. Task-free time to think about the bigger picture.
What kind of life is the CEO leading? I have shit to do and everything I do is part of the bigger picture. That's literally what our jobs are.
For my think time, I walked around the block and thought about the best ways to expand our company and where I wanted the Try Guys to be in 5 to 10 years. Kind of nice. Some of my thoughts were about how to grow our ambitions beyond YouTube. Maybe with additional people helping us out, we could focus on even bigger things, like new merch collabs or a show on Netflix. Netflix. Could we create a subscription box that gave people new things to try each month?
Ooh.
What about a Try Guys lip kit?
Ooh.
Could we take our without a recipe format to TV?
Uh-huh.
How do I get on the phone with Gordon Ramsay?
You call him.
How do Ariel and I become one of those funny HGTV couples that renovate beautiful houses?
Aren't you already that?
But on HGTV, though.
Oh, yeah.
Would Chip and Joanna Gaines want to come over and play Settlers of Catan on a double date sometime? I don't know, maybe. Should I try to audition for sitcom roles, or is what I'm doing now both more fun and more valuable? Wait, how did Chris Pratt get so shredded? Maybe Second Try should just create our own sitcoms. Maybe Second Try should just create our own Jurassic Park.
This was my favorite part of the day. My overproductive morning left me way ahead of schedule, and I was free to explore my mind palace instead of being bogged down in minutiae. I'm so sorry for referring to it as a mind palace. It seemed good when I was writing.
No, I'm into mind palace. I'm into it.
Okay, cool, cool. So we all have mind palaces.
Through my own mind palace.
Do we all
right
have mind palaces?
No, I think
mine's a mind dormitory.
Yeah,
but I own all the rooms.
Oh. Since I always feel reactive during my workday, I seldom get chances to give mental energy to the big picture projects. What really excites me is making shows. I'm always jotting down little ideas, but never have a moment to explore them since more pressing deadlines always take precedence. Today, I was finally able to return to a long gestating scripted idea, and episode synopses poured out from me. At the end of the hour, I had a full mini-season of episodes charted out and committed to paper. It was all there, all along. I just needed to dedicate the time to it.
What was the scripted idea?
It's called Finding Corn Diddy.
Hard pass.
Oh, yeah, I know this one.
that CEOs, wasn't the one. Do we greenlight it?
We'll workshop it.
I'm a CEO myself. I don't need y'all permission. I'm doing it.
That's true.
Great.
That's
good right. For you.
Are
can't
we finding
wait.
Your Diddy?
Finding... You know, Diddy's problematic.
Corn isn't, though. People like corn.
Corn, yeah, people like corn. Corn's like very corn. Agreeable.
To be honest, I did not have the best comprehension of what this think time entailed. I imagined Winnie the Pooh in his thinking spot and chuckled at how stupid he was portrayed. I mean, he's a fucking bear sitting on a log thinking about nothing. What an idiot.
You take that back.
Now, shut up.
Do you guys ever poo beared around your apartment?
Oh, mm-hmm. Walk around without pants but with a shirt?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh,
also without underwear.
That.
Also without underwear.
I feel very uncomfortable when I do that.
Oh, I love it.
I probably looked similarly lost, trying to figure out how to think about the bigger picture, and eventually deciding I'd be better served by doing actual work.
1:40 p.m. Do brief face-to-face check-ins with your team. Also, no more caffeine from here on out. Sorry.
You know what? I'm just way too far off at this point to even attempt to stay on track, so the whole thing's fucked. I'm just gonna edit this video. Sorry, guys.
I know many of you reading this or listening to this are used to seeing just the four of us on screen, but there is a whole team of people that help us make our videos a reality. So I used this time to talk to our production team about planning a Halloween party during a half day at the office as a way to say thanks to our staff for all their hard work. Without them, we wouldn't be able to release nearly as much Try Guys content.
Since my whole morning had already been spent on meetings, I used this time for classic water cooler chat. Note, we don't actually own a water cooler. We should chat about that.
You know,
we just got one now.
We do now.
Not at the time of writing the book.
I know. Well, don't you? It's when the...
But it's cool, though.
I mean,
we're recording this like months after
we did get a water cooler.
Yeah.
Water cooler. You know what, guys? Real-time update. We got a water cooler.
Yeah.
We don't talk around it, though.
That's true. We should. Well, we should chat about that.
It's in a tough corner.
Yeah, it's in the corner. We should move that to the middle of the living room.
I asked my coworkers if they'd watched any cool videos lately and checked in on their significant others and or pets. Somehow, it turned into a very heated debate about whether or not Kiwi is a valuable member of the fruit community. It is, and you're wrong, Miles.
What you think? Miles is looking at us
Miles
right now. He's smiling. He's laughing.
He's just saying no. Kiwi is not
Kiwi is so good and so underrated. You guys know you can eat the skin?
You can eat it. You can, but like, you can also eat a pencil.
Yeah.
I don't have time for this.
Also, I love the robot CEO. How is your significant other and or pet?
Thank you. As Kevin Lin told us, procrastination is good for the brain. It helps refresh and reset the clock before you dive into more work. And socialization is absolutely necessary to maintain sanity. Before long, 20 minutes was up and it was back to work. With a kiwi as a delicious and nutritious snack.
I decided the most effective way to do this was to go to each of our employees to speak to them on action items that needed addressing. These moments would typically be stolen periodically with no real structure throughout the day, so piling them all into one concentrated window did sound like rational methodology. Unfortunately, it soon hit me that the last time I had effectively conversed with producers, production assistants, and editors about important matters at hand was when I shot out a bunch of emails at 9:30 a.m. Since we're not your typical somewhat removed CEOs and our opinions are needed for even the most minute decisions at this point in our young company, I felt like I had fallen behind since then. Now, it's not impossible to make these meetings work, but apparently it takes even greater care and foresight to ensure that when you send your morning directives, they are thorough and consuming enough to last until the next time you're available to powwow. I adjust my feedback to ensure they can last without me for the rest of my CEO afternoon.
Delegation, motherfucker!
That's right! That's right, delegated the shit out of that.
2:30 p.m. Dedicated 3-hour work block divided up with time boxing, allotting a fixed maximum unit of time for a pre-planned activity, the way God intended.
Okay, I just did work. Fuck the boxes. I'm pretty sure Steve Jobs said that. Because right now, we're working on our distracted driving series where we filmed ourselves driving drunk, driving high, sleep deprived, and texting while driving. So this has been a series we've wanted to make for years, but obviously every aspect of it is illegal. So we were never allowed to make it at our previous job. But now, we're a small enough company that people aren't worried about what we do yet. In all seriousness, though, we get really excited about educational content that is sort of edgy and ridiculous. We're also interested in learning about the effects of different intoxicants because there truly isn't a lot of science out there that compares them. The biggest challenge was getting a speedway that would let us do it and to get the Los Angeles Police Department to give us an officer to speak on it and to create something safe out of something completely unsafe.
And then get high.
Yeah, and then we got high. So to capture something this big in scope, we had about 9 cameras on the ground for a few days straight, shooting tons and tons of footage. And being precious artists, we didn't think it was possible for anyone to edit something this challenging except us. Only us. Only we are good at this.
We're the try.
We're the best.
We
only
love
we
editing
can do
our
it.
Big projects.
You know, in hindsight, our editors are way more talented.
They're way
than
better
us.
Than us.
Yeah. We're so wrong.
That was the worst decision.
So, we slowly chipped away at the project over the next few months, but we can never find time to finish it. So finally, we gave it to our best post team, and not only did they finish the series, but they also did amazing work that we probably wouldn't have come up with ourselves. It was a huge lesson in prioritizing and delegating. Except what I just said is not true. At least not true for Eugene and I, who didn't have enough time left to just hand our edits off. So we actually had to finish the editing ourselves, and it's driving us nuts, and it was a huge mistake. And that is why I'm failing at the CEO schedule. I'm still editing. That's why all of my other sentences, Keith. All of my other things, will be one sentence. I will say one sentence about how I didn't do what they wanted me to do, because I'm editing a video that has a 9-camera multicam. And it won't work because we don't have enough drivers
Keith,
in our
Keith,
computer.
Keith.
It's just
breathe,
so
breathe.
It's okay. I'm the fast, simple editor, not the slow, thoughtful, Eugene, stylish editor. Shouldn't have been an editor on this ever.
Yeah. Well, if it helps, remember, I stayed up like for 2 weeks straight in the night. But I didn't do it during the CEO time. That's why I actually got sleep. But you're dying during this.
Well, it's got to go online in 2 days.
That's
at this
true.
Point.
So. Yeah.
Hey, but man, but that video you made was really funny.
Real good.
It
really
funny. Did perform the best.
That's true.
But at this point,
it hasn't been made yet.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Right. We know, I know Future now that it performed really well.
Was the time boxing helpful though?
I still don't even know what that is.
Okay, so I'm actually very excited about time boxing. Here's how it works. I would work for 25 minutes straight and then take a 5-minute break. That would be one box. You put a little check in your box, cause like, boom, you did it. Then, I planned out how many boxes I thought each task would take. So if you got a 3-hour task, that's 6 boxes. Mm-hmm. Check, 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 boom. Productivity, motherfucker! Did I just swear? I just swore, guys. It's the hidden power of fucking up. I had led all the pre-production and course design for the DUI series, so by this point, it was my precious $30,000 and 2 months of my life. Dear God, I hope people like this series, baby. We split up the edits, and I chose the Try Guys Test Sleep-Deprived Driving, because I actually am sleep-deprived from caring for Wes. It was a large undertaking, like Keith said. In the video, we stayed up all night and then drove Keith's car on a closed course to test what sleep-deprived driving was like.
Also, using my car was not an option. It was just the choice everyone made.
Yeah. How is your car, by the way?
Well, the company paid for the $650 of damage it took, so.
$650 is not bad.
Not bad, honestly.
Pretty good. Still damage. So that meant there was a whole night's worth of cell phone footage plus the 4 different driving tests, each with 9 different cameras rolling simultaneously. The problem is, it turns out watching us try to stay up all night was way funnier than I remembered, and it took me forever to get to editing the actual driving because I was enjoying watching and cutting the sleepover footage so much. It started with about 40 minutes of us dancing in animal onesies, and by 3 a.m., I put a stuffed chicken in a diaper and set it down asleep in Wes's bed. I edited our night into a surrealist horror movie, and it delighted me to no end. But I kept running over time on my 25-minute time boxes, which kind of defeated the purpose.
I didn't really understand time boxing at first, but Ned described it as breaking up work into units of time and then trying to hold myself to it. Each box is 25 minutes of work with 5 minutes to get up and stretch my achy back, so I've got 6 blocks to work with. A decent chunk of box 1 was spent doing bathroom stuff. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to be open and honest here, and that's what happens.
What do you mean by bathroom stuff?
You know what I mean by bathroom stuff.
He was pooping in the toilet on top of Bill Gates' feet.
I mean, you can put it.
I spent box 2 and the remaining chunk of non-bathroom time box 1 meeting with our editor to hand off the DUI edit. And then the rest of the day turned immediately into a frantic blur. You see, we weren't just finishing these DUI videos. By far the biggest and most ambitious videos ever produced on our new channel, the rest of life kept drumming along. There were 3 other videos to be approved that needed thumbnails and packaging, emails from our agent about a pitch we're putting together, and oh yeah, we're still writing a fucking book! To top it all off, we decided to release these videos leading up to the Streamies, the Oscars of the Internet, or so they say, a show we agreed to host. We have a real shit habit of piling on as many things as humanly possible all at once. Since my video was coming out last, I offered to be the swingman and fill the knees that would usually be dispersed among the 4 of us. Normally, I stall as long as possible and wait for inspiration to hit. Time boxing was there to say, uh-oh, bitch, get moving. It was like the feeling the night before a paper is due. It doesn't matter how you got here because some way, somehow, this shit's gotta get done by the time the sun rises. So chug that Red Bull and let's dance. Most of my time was spent going over notes from the Streamies, rejecting the script they wanted us to read, and deciding to just rewrite it all. Fun fact, the 4 of us wrote every word we spoke in that show, including an original song from Keith, original choreography from Eugene, a killer sketch from Ned, and a bomb-ass video plus some hot one-liners from yours truly. Blocks 5 and 6 were spent on editing video packages for the show as fast as my little fingers could go. And before I knew it, the day was over, and I was ready to collapse.
I tend to be highly reactionary, as many creatives are, meaning I respond to what's most demanding in the moment and shine a spotlight on it as the rest of the world falls to black. Until the next unexpected project screams in the darkness and I swivel the spotlight onto it. And so on.
Ah!
There you are. This to-do was distinctly action-oriented. I'd need to ignore all spontaneous distractions and switch gears regardless of how engrossing a project is. As the editor of the first video of our DUI series, the Drunk Driving Premiere, my work sets the tone for the whole series, so I needed to finish the cut as soon as humanly possible. And that began with determining the graphics and animation style, and the actual point system in which we're penalized for traffic infractions in the series.
Penalized?
Zach?
You're a CEO today.
Zach.
You're going to tell me that penalized is not funny.
Hey, look at me, Zach. Yeah. It's your duty to not giggle at penalized. Oh, God. Unfortunately, 3 hours of regimented work on a busy day is perhaps not the way our company is run. I had so much to accomplish with the video edit itself, but I had to make a decision. Because the graphics and point system affected the other guys' edits more immediately, I began designing and sharing those ideas before actually cutting my own video. It essentially set my own personal work back, but sped up our collective group work. Basically, I spent these 3 hours deciding on what the traffic cone graphic should look like and how much of a deduction we'd get if we ran through a stop sign. And it was worth it.
5:30 p.m. Group dinner.
I had dinner with my wife.
That's it?
That's it.
Are you okay?
I'm tired of making this video.
If by group dinner you mean a group dinner with Wesley and Ariel consisting mostly of watching Wes smash berries on his cheeks, then yes, I had a group dinner.
Because he doesn't know where his mouth is because he's a baby.
Yeah, he smashes it.
He kind of knows where it is.
Well, he does now. General idea. You know, he just doesn't really know. Look at him. He's so cute.
I usually wait to eat dinner at home with Maggie, so I spent the last 30 minutes of the official workday checking in with everyone and then setting my agenda for the next day. CEO day was over, but I liked how productive I was able to be and wanted to set similar goals for the following day. Also, I should wear turtlenecks more often.
Yeah, you look good.
You guys think I'm pulling it off?
Yeah.
You have a weird special relationship with turtles.
Yeah, I think it's just they get me.
If there's one thing you should know about our regrettable history with work-life balance, it's that there is no way in hell we would voluntarily have a group dinner on a weekday unless we were staying late on a project because the Triwives, yes, you heard me, would murder everyone. We see each other more than we see our other loved ones. So this was a non-negotiable alteration. Dinner would be on your own accord with whoever your most valuable one-on-one time is with. The last couple of hours I spend returning to my video edit.
A little fun fact, you do not have to be married to be a tri-wife. Any significant other is a tri-wife.
That's how it works.
That's how it works.
7:45 p.m. Go home.
I'm already home. I had dinner with my wife. I'm already here.
Yeah, me too, I guess. 6:30 p.m. is bath time and bedtime for Wes, so I really try hard to make it home for bath time, and I'm usually the one that puts him to bed. I don't get to see him throughout the day, so when I work late and he's already asleep, I get a little sad. At 7 p.m., it was finally just me and Ariel again, so we shared a glass of wine and talked about our days.
With a full day's work behind me, I was able to get home early, cook dinner with Maggie, and join her for a walk with Bowie. We watched an episode of The Good Place.
Such a great show.
So good.
Yeah,
so good.
So good. So
clean the dishes. Clean the dishes and shared stories from the day. It felt quite adult and lovely.
7:45 p.m. feels like a more realistic average of when we'd drop everything to exit on a daily basis. Considering my commute grows to about 45 minutes to get home, it dawned on me as I turn on NPR and listen to a recap of the day's significant world events that I had successfully stayed away from constantly checking in on news and social media. And my fingers instantly grew itchy with excitement to check my social blossoms.
Ew.
I'm Terry Gross.
I'm Terry Gross, and this is the Try Guys.
8:30 p.m. Escort electronic devices out of your room.
What fairy tale life is this CEO living? Escort? Escort? Like you're taking it down? Or also maybe my devices are having sex with someone at this point? This is so confusing. This is stupid.
You know, I've never called it a delightful term like escorting. This piece of advice is actually one I already take to heart. Every night, I tuck my phone in the closet far away from my bed and try not to check it again. Sometimes I miss out on things, like one morning I woke up to a bunch of texts from Eugene asking me if I wanted to come out to a West Hollywood bar on a Tuesday night at 11:30 p.m.
Yes!
I remember that.
Yeah, that was...
We all said no.
I'm tempting.
Tempting. Very tempting. Putting my phone away helps me sleep better, though. And how do I wake up without an alarm on my phone, you ask? Two words, baby Wes.
Baby Wes cries, 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 cries,
baby Wes cries, cries.
Okay, no. This is such an adorable and quaint image, but no. I'm gonna go ahead and admit that I did not do this, but I did leave my phone face down on the table and only mindlessly refresh my apps like 4 times for the rest of the night instead of 20.
This piece of advice is one I explicitly didn't heed. In fact, because I had been so successful at staying away from social media, I spent my first half hour at home scrolling through every goddamn platform I could get my hands on. It felt deserved. Knowing that it wasn't too difficult to go cold turkey in the office inspired this evening goal. But I'd come to find that when you're blasé and alone at home, avoiding social media is infinitely more problematic.
9 p.m. Unwind by doing chores. Or taking a walk outside without music.
Are you fucking kidding me? Chores? Chore. 9 o'clock chores. I'm done.
I did actually put away my laundry because CEOs can't have their closets messy, and it felt good.
It sucks.
It was
it's
nice.
It's dumb. There's nothing relaxing about work.
Well, it's easy work, though.
It's still work.
Still gotta get it done.
It's more work than laying down.
When else are you gonna do it?
Tomorrow.
Okay. But what about you meditating?
I decided to dedicate this 30 minutes to stretching and doing yoga, something I've been struggling to work into my evenings but is desperately needed as I work on myself. Having a stretch sesh to bookend my days felt like a good compromise for when I can't make it to the gym.
I despise chores. But I have 2 dogs, so a walk outside was already in the cards for me. I made it extra long and purposefully left my phone in the apartment, traversing multiple blocks, marveling at how often my pup Emma can poop for having such a petite frame.
Yeah, she poops hard.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
She's tiny.
She's good at it.
In a weird way, monitoring 2 dog buttholes for signs of shit was wondrously decompressing.
You somehow even made that sentence sound like kinda hot.
Mm-hmm. Fuck upwards. By the end of our hike, the combination of the extremely early morning workout, stress from adhering to our CEO itinerary, and what can only be described as caffeine depletion washed over me like a cavalcade of bricks, and I plopped my ass down on the couch, spent. I actually mused aloud. Huh. I think I'm tired. This is uncharacteristic, especially for me at such an early evening hour, so I was tickled by the prospect of potentially being able to go to bed early without the woes of insomnia.
9:30 p.m. Take a hot bath with Epsom salts.
Oh my god, am I a grandmother? What is this person doing?
Keith, you gotta do some of these.
No!
Well, I mean, Actually, it was kind of nice. I mean, who knew that?